If you want to start monetizing your podcast, sign up for Podmetrics. Head to podmetrics.co and use the code THECREATORLIFE when you sign up. That's podmetrics.co and use the code THECREATORLIFE. The company Cebu has now moved to its new location in Cebu IT Park. It is now located at the 8th floor of the Mabuhay Tower. You can check out the awesome new space there or their Mandaue branch. You can also take advantage of their other spaces in Japan, Singapore, Bangkok, and Hawaii if you become a member. You can book a visit through bit.ly/tccvisit and use the promo code GREATORLIFE50. That's bit.ly/tccvisit with the promo code GREATORLIFE50. This lets them know that I sent you. For more info, check them out at thecompany.ph or through Facebook and Instagram at The Company Cebu. Thank you so much to The Company Cebu for sponsoring the podcast. So, hi, Raymond. What have you been doing during this year and a half? In quarantine, like, I can't believe it's been a year and a half. It's nuts.
Hey, hi, Julian. Thanks for having me in your podcast. Yeah, it's been, yeah, more than a year and a half in this pandemic, and it's been tough. I have been grateful that I have a job. I have to say that. I work in government. I work with the Department of Finance. And of course, during this time, government has had to do a lot of things to try to keep the economy going, and I haven't been involved in the pandemic response. I've been doing other things, but still, you know, to be part of the agency of the government that has been keeping the country afloat, as it were, has been a big thing, and I'm grateful, and it means that I've had a regular salary, which not everyone can say, you know, so I've been grateful for that, and I've tried to do my part in helping the country and serving the country. But I've also been working from home a lot, so that's also been difficult. So I've also felt the kind of issues that a lot of people have been suffering through, no? So working from home, you know, missing, you know, traveling or just being with other people, it's been tough.
Don't we all miss that? Like, it's been more than a year since I've done a face-to-face interview, because I've done this before with, like, face-to-face, like meeting the people, saying hi, doing it in person, but like doing these online interviews, like, for a year, it gets tiring, it gets kind of draining, because, like, as much as I, like, sometimes I see the people I'm interviewing, like, right now, although the listeners won't be seeing a thing. So it's different when you see the person in person, literally.
Yeah,
and yeah, all the, I don't know, it's all the emotion, all the vibes. Like, I can't feel the vibes right away, like, through here. I mean, I can eventually reach there, but it's not like it's easy.
Yes, definitely.
It's draining in a sense. Yeah, I miss being with people, but like, I'm kind of used to not being with people a lot. But yeah, I still miss it, because it's at the times where I am with people, it's still fun, still exciting. But yeah, now it's really sad. And I can't believe we're still in this. A year and a half later.
Yeah, too many screens, you know. We just interact with screen after screen. And yeah, you miss people. I do.
And the sad thing is, your workplace is your home, and your home is your workplace. So you really have to find a way to separate yourself from the workplace, even though it's just the house. And it's harder when it's like in your literal room where you sleep in bed, and then when you wake up, you see your workplace there.
And
yeah.
It's just but we're grateful. I have to be grateful for staying healthy, and that's been, I guess, that's our number one job right now, is to keep ourselves healthy.
Yeah,
we just have to survive this pandemic, and that's what I've tried to do, and I pray for people who are going through COVID issues, health issues, and it's just been not very pleasant at all, but we're grateful for everything.
Like every time I see someone like coughing or like sneezing, it's like a different sense of scared.
Yes.
So we really have to take care of ourselves, whether it's like get enough sleep or do some exercise, simple as walking around. I don't know how you're gonna do walking in the house, especially if the space is small, but gotta find a way to do it just to keep our health up to snuff.
Yeah. And those of us who are older, like myself, of course, we're in that, we're more vulnerable because we're at that age range where we're that, we're the ones dealing with comorbidities and, you know, so nasa demographic na kami ng ano eh, ng mga COVID vulnerable. So, ay nako. But
let's just be grateful that we're okay, exactly. Our family's okay, and yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite all of this, we still have the people we love and all.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess we can start the episode in 3, 2, 1, go. Welcome to The Creator Life with Julian CB. That's me. It's a podcast that makes sense of how different people live their lives as creators. Main episodes come out on Fridays and Creative Tidbits episodes pop up on Wednesdays. Follow the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leaving a rating and review on this podcast really helps me out. Here's the episode. So, this is another episode in a series of bookshelf conversations where I talk to authors who have their books available in bookshelf.com.ph, and this one is gonna be quite serious. I'm not really gonna lean towards the funny and being humorous. I'm not even gonna attempt to try it, but if the laughters come out, it's fine. My guest for this episode is Raymond Alekpala. He's the author of God Loves Bakla. It's a book that courageously reveals the hidden struggles of a young closeted Filipino gay man who despaired why God had given him such a heavy cross to bear. After 3 decades of hiding his true self from the world, in an odyssey of self-discovery that passes through Singapore, Phnom Penh, Bangkok, and the priesthood, he finally realizes that God wants him to have the life to the full, and that this actually means coming out. So, Raymond, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian. Thanks for having me.
I was just reading the summary and the bio, and I gotta say, really, you've really been through a lot, like just by reading this and the related article that was sent to me by Kyle. So shout out to Kyle, who's also organizing this bookshelf conversation series with me. Hi, Kyle. Anyway, so the first question I wanted to ask you is, what pushed you to write the book? I didn't want to say inspiration, but in things like this, like coming out, you know, it's becoming, I don't know if it's becoming more common now than it was like years before, yeah. But I was really curious, like what really pushed you to write it? Because when I saw it, let's just say it's not an easy thing to write about, like from the offset. So what pushed you to write the book?
Yeah. Thanks, Julian. It was not easy to write the book, no. But I had just gone through what I felt was an extraordinary experience to be able to discover. I was in the closet for decades, you know, and coming out in my mid-30s, I realized that, God actually loves me as I am. That's basically the main thesis of the book. God loves me as a bakla. And there was nothing to be ashamed of or scared of or frightened of. And that was against everything that my school and my religion had been teaching me the whole time. So what drove me to write it was a realization that I have been the recipient of a tremendous gift from God. This gift of realizing that I am loved as a gay man. And I wanted to share that gift. And I had not read any book like it. There's no book in the Philippines before and even now. You know, people talk about coming out. You see movies about it, but it's very mababaw. I mean, it's such an easy process to come out of the closet, but it's not. I mean, you have to understand that the process is at the very core of the person. It's not easy. It's not like, oh, I'll come out tomorrow, then that's it. Tapos na. It's not. My coming out took 3 years. Took all of 3 years. I mean, you coming out lang, huh? But of course, before that, was even longer. No? So since there was no book like it, I felt that people needed to read in depth what this experience really is. And people have to understand what being gay means, entails. And that's why I it was also written for a mainstream audience. I felt that if you wanted to understand what being gay means, you could probably talk to your gay friends. But what if you didn't have gay friends? Many people have gay friends. Yeah. So they were curious. So all of this just came, and you know, sometime in my coming out, I said I want to write a book. And then the whole process from initial idea to publication was all of 7 years, and it came out 2010. So you could see the process. It's and especially a book like this. No, I mean something that goes in depth. Takes a long time, and luckily I had materials. I had my diaries that served as my research, and so my inspiration, the reason was that because there was no book like it, and something had to be written, and I said I'm going to be the one, and thank God it was done.
Yeah. When I hear stories of coming out, sometimes you just hear the portion where you are about to come out and then like slightly after, but it's a journey. It's like any other struggle. I mean, I'm not going to say it's really like any other struggle. It's still different, but the themes of experiencing struggle before, during, and after doing a major thing in your life, we don't see the whole story sometimes. We just see a part of it because, you know, when it's made into a movie, sometimes you have to condense stuff and you don't really see every single detail in that. So it's amazing that it took you all of 7 years to make the book in general.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that I think, in a way, God made you think and God made you write all those things that would lead you to writing a book.
Yes.
If you wrote a book but you didn't have anything written down right away, then like what would be your basis for this and that and this and that? Like, you know, you can't just make stuff up from memory, because seriously, guys, don't rely on your memory. It's not good. It changes every time.
Well, Julian, I wanted to be able to write a full-length book because I wanted people to understand what it means to be gay. Because people just think, when they think about a gay man, they think about sex. They think about gay sex, and it's that, no? But if you read my book, being gay is really more something of your affections, that you're attracted to the same sex, and your affections are such that it infuses every aspect of your being. If you're working or if you're a student, your being gay somehow impacts on that, and there are effects, and I cannot talk about that theoretically. I had to talk about it from my own experience. And I think part of the success has been people have been telling me that they saw themselves in my story. So I'm telling my story, which is a particular story, but actually it's a universal story because people see themselves in my story. If I talk about my life as a high school student struggling with attractions to my classmates, ganyan din, I went through the same thing. So it's very helpful to be able to deal with a topic in depth where people could see the complexity of the gay experience. And at the same time, see it from beginning to end, kumbaga. It's not just one part. Diba? So I talk about my experiences as a lawyer. And even as a lawyer, my being gay impacts on my profession as a lawyer. So those things. And I've been lucky. I've been blessed. And to be able to reconcile all of these different strands of yourself, your professional life, your being a lawyer, you being a student, or you're being a son, the son of your parents, or a Filipino, even your own nationality, to be able to reconcile all of that and to be able to see yourself as something good, someone good. And even your gay identity in the middle of all of that, I think that's important. And that's what people want. That's what I want people to come away with my book, is that to be able to see your being gay as part of God's gift, that being gay is a gift and a grace from God.
Yeah. No matter how many times you talk to your gay friends or like anyone who knows gays, like as a straight guy, I could never really truly understand what, you know, gay men go through. So having this book that shows like a personal experience, like deep stuff, like sometimes we tend to avoid the deep stuff because I don't know, it's where all the gray area comes out. It's not just like black and white. And so having this book, seeing all these gray areas in life, will help me understand what you've been through and have some idea on what gay men go through. Although I will never truly understand because I'm not gay. So
but the one thing that I think people have told me that distinguishes the book is its honesty. It's honest. It's not an autobiography that's written to make me look good or because I want to run for public office. It's not that kind of stuff, you know. It's a book that's written really to share to other people what I've been through. And that was the main reason, is to share and to be honest. So you need to be honest about that. And so in the book, I tell people about what exactly I went through, the issues that I had to deal with, feelings of attraction for my classmates, the issue of masturbation, which I talk about very honestly, which people don't usually read about in a book, you know. How does a young person deal with these issues? My going to spas to get massage from and the extra service, you know, to get sex, you know, these kinds of experiences that are for many gay men a replacement of a lack in their lives, of real love, of real intimacy. And you try to deal with this lack by doing these things. But yun nga, I can talk about it now very openly because I've been through it and nalampasan ko na yan. I've been through that and I've come out on the other side a better person, a more integrated person. But for a lot of people, they're still there, especially for young people. They're still there. They're in the middle of the struggle. They're still struggling
trying to find that
bad person. oh, I feel attracted to this, oh, I want to have sex, and all of these guilt feelings that the church and society tells them.
Am I sure this is right? Yeah. Am I sure this is wrong? Yeah. What is all this? I can't understand this. Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then sometimes they go overboard. They become so confident, I want to have sex. And now people have sex all the time with Grindr, and they have partners, and they have so many partners, so many sexual encounters every week, every month. Well, with the pandemic, that slowed down, of course. But before that, diba? So this is all part of the, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, 90s. So iba yung experience ko. That's the world that I depict, you know, in my book. I talk about, I situate it in the historical context of the EDSA Revolution, kasi I was in college na during the EDSA Revolution, and these things, you know. So that's how the story is told. Of course, other young people would have a different version now, but I think it will really be helpful for young people now to know what it was that our generation went through. So they don't take whatever freedoms they have for granted. So people fought for these freedoms. You know, the freedom that you have now on the internet, where you have so many BL series. I mean, my God, parang it seems you think it's easy. It's easier to come out. Sometimes I think it becomes even more difficult. In some ways, it becomes even more difficult now because now people don't. Am I gay? Maybe I'm trans. Maybe I'm queer. You know, all of these choices now. Maybe it's not just LGBT, it's LGBTQIAA+.
Yeah, there's a lot of terms now that I don't even comprehend.
Yeah,
I wish I could.
More difficult. But you know, parang my story is, it's like a history of at least of one person within what it meant to be growing up in the Philippines in the late 20th century. Kasi ganun eh. Iba na yung millennium. 21st century na tayo ngayon.
Yeah. I was thinking if someone else could actually write a book about this kind of experience in this setting. But knowing all that these millennials and the Gen Zs have now, I'm not sure. It's not going to be like possible. It's not impossible or anything, but I don't know if it's gonna take longer for them to write anything. Have they started writing? Have they done it through like a video kind of diary or some sort? It's gonna be, I feel like it's gonna be hints of same and different because of the differences in generation. But I feel like it's gonna be longer. I'm not really sure. I can't see it being shorter just because it's technology or anything. I feel like,
well, Julian, the wonderful thing is that people have so many more ways of telling their story nowadays. The internet has opened up so many different kinds of media, so many kinds of narratives. People, apart for me, I just wanted to write a book, but people could make a short film, people could make a video essay, people could do a podcast, you know. But there's so many ways of telling a story. But what I would suggest is that, you know, in order to look at your story, it has to be the product of reflection. Kasi it has to be an examined life. It's an examination of your life. That's what I did. I examined my life, and that's why I came up with a book. But it can't just be another one of these, I just want to tell you what happened in my day, ganito, diba? Parang, teka, I mean, let's reflect a little bit, and let's try to find the essential in everything that's happening. So I really would love to read more stories. And hear more stories about gay men, especially gay men and women, you know, lesbians, transgender, and how they deal with the issue of religion, their relationship with God, the relationship with the church. It would be wonderful to be able to read more stories of that, because that's what we need. I mean, we're a very spiritual society. We're a very religious society, the Philippines is. And no matter what we do, everything starts with a prayer or ends with a prayer. Pero when we pray, wala yung sexuality natin sa prayer. If we're able to reconcile all of that, and if I hear, I would love to have more people telling me, how have you been able to reconcile that? And especially the millennials now, because the world has just become so much more complicated. We think that it's become a smaller world because we're all interconnected, but undamming diversions, so much content out there to consume. I mean, how can you even watch all of the movies on Netflix?
There's so much noise around us that we can't really filter out. That's why I said that it might take longer, because I don't know how millennials, like, I'm a millennial, I think so. I don't know if millennials and Gen Z people would reflect the same way that prior generations have, because at least with some millennials, I think we've been in the transition between having a life without any technology, like we go outside to play. And the Gen Z though, I don't think they've had any experience with no technology, or like, if there is, it's like a very small speck of their life.
Exactly. So You're right.
Most of it's gonna be technology, most of it's gonna be full of things like instant gratification, so it's gonna be a different kind of experience that I'm not sure if, like, it's going to be easy to reflect upon for them compared to prior generations. Like, that's me personally speaking. So
we really need you hit the nail on the head when you said we live in a very noisy world. We need to have more silence, really. It's in silence where we encounter God, where we encounter ourselves, and where we find our deepest insights about ourselves and our identity, our faith. And we just don't have enough of that. Of course, I hope during this pandemic, people have been more reflective and have begun to be more comfortable with silence. Pero you turn on the TV and all of these crazy, stupid election noises that we hear right now, di ba?
It's not even the formal start, and we're seeing all this, and it's
and it's only going to get noisier and noisier as and months go by. So I think it's very important to be able to have some silence in one's day. I mean, just a few minutes, maybe 15, 30 minutes of silence in order to be able to, if one wants a real relationship with God, it's a daily thing. You really have to pray. You really have to pray every day. You need to be able to encounter God at a certain part of your day, and it has to be a silent part of your day. You know, I mean, of course, you can make a sign of the cross and make it very quickly. But if you're a young person, and siguro ako, I can do it kasi matanda na ako. Malalim na yung pinagsamahan namin ni Kuya Jess. So it's a very long experience, and there's a depth there that could allow us to say, okay na tayo. But for young people who are trying to cultivate a relationship with God, you really need to pray. You really need to have that silence. And I mean, my book has some prayers. You know, it helps people. It guides you through a faith journey. But at the same time, you know, it's you. I mean, you have to do the prayer yourself. I can't order you to.
Like priests no matter how many priests tell you to pray, at the end of the day, you have to pray. It's not like they're gonna, of course, pray, yeah, there's this thing that they're gonna pray for you because, you know, priests and all. But you can't have everyone else do the stuff for you. Yeah. You still have to do the things. Like, you can't achieve your goals if you're just gonna not do anything and just rely on someone else telling you to do stuff. So you still have to make the move. You still have to push everything that you have and just achieve what you want to achieve in life. So I don't know if a lot of the millennials and Gen Z are really practicing. Like, I don't know if they've reflected on their faith. I'm very privileged to have that, you know, culture myself, but that's not the same for everyone. So I just hope they find the realizations and they're able to reflect. Like, if it's gonna be an excuse for you to go to the beach and just be silent by yourself, then go do it. If you need that in your life, then go. But yeah, you know, be safe and everything because it's the pandemic and whatever.
I miss the beach. Yeah, it would be great to be able to do that.
Yeah, I miss the beach too. Yeah, like, people deal with these things in different ways, whether it's going to the beach or going to the mountains and reflect there. Everyone works in different ways, and just being stuck at home doesn't really fit them. They feel like it's more stressful to be at home sometimes than just being outside and see the view and everything. So it's a you do you kind of thing. It's been more than a decade since you wrote the book, since the book came out. So were there any learnings or realizations that you've had since the book came out? Like, were there things that you've learned, like, since the book came out? I can't believe I just repeated that, but
I understand your question. Of course, because the book is a snapshot of my life at a certain point. So I wrote it when I was 42. I'm 55 years old now, so a lot of life has happened in between already that's not covered by the book. But I think the book covers birth to 42, so that's four decades of living already. But of course, as you grow older, you know, all sorts of things life throws at you. You learn a little bit more, you grow a little bit more, you meet a few more people. And yeah, I mean, that could be subject of a later book. But perhaps the most important thing is that after coming out, you know, I came out, the book covers my coming out at around, publicly at around the age of 38, and then it covers the next 4 years until I'm 42. But I can say that after that, I can certainly say that I've been a happier man, significantly happier since the time covered by the book. Sure, I was accomplished. I was a lawyer. I had a good and loving family that supported me. But after coming out, The quality of happiness is incomparable. Parang it's a whole new level. Kasi when you're out of the closet, I mean, you think you're happy when you're in the closet, but once you're out of it, it's just different. As I've said in the book, my happiest day inside the closet cannot compare to my worst day outside of it. It's just different. I mean, because once you're out of the closet, you are true to yourself. Wala ka nang tinatago. And that just creates a quality of happiness that cannot be described in words. And that's why I tell people na, I wish you would come out. I mean, I still have a lot of people, friends, who are still in the closet. Partly in the closet, or they're out to some, but not to others. And sabi nila, hindi, I won't, matanda na ako eh, nasanay na ako dito eh, so okay na to. But hindi, hindi. Parang, you know, you owe it to yourself eh. We as human beings, as people, there's a need for us to speak our truth. We need to be able to speak our truth. That's part of who we are. We're not turtles who have to hide in our shells our whole lives. And if people can come out, and you know, I mean, you don't have to shout to your office mates that you're gay. Diba? Hindi naman yung ganon. But you know, to be able to at least be comfortable to be who you are and to not to pretend. That's the worst thing, is you have to pretend. You have to pretend you have a girlfriend, or you have to pretend you have a boyfriend if you're a woman. Pero hindi naman. I mean, just the life of pretending takes its toll on you. Eh? It just makes you unhappy in the long run. To be able to not pretend is really an important ingredient of being happy. So yeah, for me, I mean, to answer your question, it's a long way of answering it, that a lot has changed, but the most important thing is that I'm happier now.
It's like I was really touched, and I felt that sense of like, finally I can get this off my chest and just like do the things I want to do in my life, not being burdened by all that. Because like, the closet is heavy, the closet is full of stuff. And so when you go out of there, you just feel light, and you just feel all sorts of things. Like, you can feel them as yourself, like judging by how the vibes are actually reaching me now. It's amazing. The internet, right? So like,
thank you.
It's a nice feeling to be able to say that this part of my life is done. Now I can move forward and do what I really want to do.
Yeah.
In life.
And the earlier you can come out, the better, really. Kaya nga, I keep on telling people, the early you can be pretty sure. I was pretty sure I was gay by the time I was 6, although I didn't really understand it fully. Of course, you had to pass through puberty and your first love, first crushes, ganon, before you can be sure. But for a lot of people now, I think young people, 18, 19, 20, I think it's pretty much set. So it doesn't really change. If you're attracted to your male, I mean, if you're a guy and you're attracted to your guy friends at the age of 18, 19, 20, you're most likely gay, you know, maybe, or bisexual, you know. But you know, it's more or less pretty set. Hindi naman magbabago yan. So the earlier you can come out, then it's easier, because if you're out at 20, then you could really have time to build deeper relationships with people who know and love you for who you truly are, di ba? Yeah, ako, I came out publicly at 38. Di ba? Para, no regrets. I mean, I'm grateful for everything that I've been through, and everything has been a blessing. But I think for a lot of people, especially now in this day and age, in the new millennium, it's really so much, much better if people could come out earlier. And yeah, and to be able to resolve their personal issues so that they can move on to other things in life. And they can find a partner, or they can build a family, you know, with people who they really want to be with. And they don't have to pretend to get married just because. Kasi ngayon, you can actually get married now with the same sex, di ba? Hindi pa sa Pilipinas, but in other countries, you can. But that's an option. There are Filipinos who've gotten married abroad. And so that's an option now for people. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish for a day where the church and state can be truly separate, because here, not really. No matter how you look at it, not really. No matter how much they say it's separate, not really. You know, there's these blurred lines we see that, okay, even if it's separate, then I still see the blurred lines, and I still see that there's one influences the other.
Yeah. Yeah, well, kaya nga, that's why it's very important, as we were discussing earlier. At the end of the day, you know, the state cannot tell you who you are. The church cannot tell you who you are. It's only you yourself who will know who you are. I mean, your personal sense of self, your identity. Ikaw yung makaka-discover nun. And you, and if I could say so, as a Christian, you and your God, diba? It's who you are before your God. And then, kasi hoda what the church says or what the state says, diba? It's who you are. And as a gay man, I don't have rights as a gay man in this country. There are no special rights for gay men. So technically, my homosexual identity is not recognized, except as a grounds for annulment of marriage, yung ganon. Or mga ganon eh. So it people will really just have to come to their sense of self in their own way. And I, as I said, the church and the state, sadly, they shouldn't have much to do with it. It's between you and your God.
Yeah. No matter how many like other people say or like your parents, like at the end of the day, it's just you. Like only you know who you are. And then like it's up to you how to deal with the impact of others on you.
Yeah, at this point, Julian, I'd like to say, especially for trans individuals, for transgender, if you were born a man but you really believe you're a woman, who's to tell you that you're not a woman? Diba? Of course, we'll have all sorts of debates, diba, pagdating doon. But at the end of the day, it's your life, and if deep inside you believe you're a woman, then you are, diba? Of course, it's a different question when you're asking for certain rights, diba? Pero ultimately, even if you don't have the rights that are granted to you by the society, but as long as you know who you are deep inside, and I have a lot of trans friends within Ladlad and other LGBT groups. The most important thing is who they are as individuals, and the church and state cannot tell you otherwise.
I agree. I guess we can. I guess we can end the episode right here because yeah, I get that we really should approach these kinds of topics with the right mindset of being serious about it and not like joke about it like it's something not serious. It is something serious, and then if we might laugh a bit, we might, you know, react to things about it, but at the end of the day, like, I wanted to treat this conversation with an air of seriousness, and I'm glad that we had that in this episode because it's a serious topic and I'd really love to understand more as I go through life and I meet other people who are really different than I am. And so
yeah. It would really have been wonderful to have a beer and discuss these things.
That's true. Like, yeah, if we had a beer now, but like one is, it's like 6:58 PM. So it's like too early.
Yeah.
And like I didn't want to have Kyle schedule stuff like 10 PM or something, because, you know.
Wag naman.
No, it's like people's schedules and all. So.
But thank you, Julian, for this. No, I mean and I hope that the people who are listening would be able to get something out of our conversation. And ako naman talaga, I mean, my book is entitled God Loves Bakla, My Life in the Closet, but it doesn't end in the closet. I come out of the closet, and I think that's the important thing, to be able to encourage people to really come out and to just be true to yourself and to know that God is waiting for them, you know, outside the closet too.
You can't just be guided in the closet. Sometimes you need, there's really that step to go out and, like I said, do what you want to do in life, because life is not just about closets and rooms and attics and whatever kind part of the house I could mention, but I don't want to continue that joke because It's weird.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah. So, plug the book before we end, even though you kind of did already. Yeah. But, yeah, you can plug the book.
Yeah, it's available at bookshelf.ph. And the printed version is selling for 400 pesos, which I think is a reasonable price. I mean, it's a pretty thick book, 261 pages, diba? So the ebook sells for 300 pesos. So, but you know, it's nice to have actual physical.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice to bring that in a beach and just like read in peace while you reflect in your life and everything.
And I assure you, it's not written in a legalistic way. It's written in a very approachable, straightforward manner. And I think that people could really read it, you know, easily. So, and I hope more people could read it, especially those who need to hear its message of liberation.
Yeah. All those equivalent words of freedom and
yes. Yeah. Thank you.
I thought of a quote, but I forgot about it, so I'm not gonna attempt to remember.
Thanks to you again.
I'm sorry.
So thank you, Kyle. I also want to thank Kyle for
this
podcast.
Thank you, Kyle, for, you know, bringing me these lovely conversations and for the future ones I'll have in the next episode. So stay tuned for that, guys. And it's my turn to plug my stuff. So podcast updates and behind the scenes are on social media. That's Greater Life Pod, Greater Life Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also follow me personally and see me miss the beach and read a book while on the being in that imaginary beach. So that's Julian CB on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's JULLIANSIBI. And if you want to hear me talk about tech, you can just go to the Techie Speak podcast. You can also find that on wherever you find the Creator Life. And that's it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this wonderful and deep conversation. Until the next one, enjoy your tech, enjoy your coffee, enjoy life, and stay safe, everyone. Bye.